We've been looking at this passage which indicates that we approach God and he's approachable through prayer. That's how we talk to him. That's how we tell him what we're thinking or feeling. But what about how he speaks to us? He speaks to us through his Spirit, through his Word. And with that in mind, I would like to have you think about the fact that we need to not only be coming to God on a regular, natural basis, speaking to the Lord in prayer, but we need to be reading the Word so we're hearing what he's saying to us. This needs to be a two-way relationship, a two-way conversation. And that's going to come sometimes through that still small voice of the Spirit, but a lot of times it's going to come through the Spirit teaching us through the Word and God responding to us through what he says here. And so I'm going to ask Alan Wolfe to come, and he's going to challenge you this morning about your Bible reading. Alan?
Back in the years 1995 and 1996, I had the wonderful opportunity to teach at the University of South Florida, where I taught rapid reading of Old and New Testament. And there we would take students literally cover to cover through all 1,189 chapters of the Bible. In the course of developing that material, the pages just begin to swell and to swell, and eventually they culminated into one of the two books that I'm holding here in my hand right now. And recently I've been picked up by a distributor who's now putting the material literally all across the country and even abroad. Up here on the top left-hand corner of that screen, you'll see two books along with some software. One of the things that I realize is a lot of people have good intentions where they want to read their Bible, but they really don't know how to take hold of such a big accomplishment. And so as a result, without a plan, they often start into their ambitions, but then they tucker out somewhere down the path. And I realize that if people are going to jump into the Bible, especially if they're going to do it as a family, or if especially they'll do it as a group, then you have to help people develop a system for how to do it. So I hired some guys who are computer programmers, and they developed some software for me. Yesterday, I got three emails. One of them came from Haiti, a lady down in Haiti who's received the books, and she's there providing discipleship and shelter and motherly care. It's called Danita's Children, because Danita has 70 Haitian orphan kids that she takes care of. And she was so excited because this lady wrote me and said, I've gotten your books, and I'm thrilled to death to get these things, and I can't wait to get started. I also got two other emails, one from Wisconsin and another one from a guy in South Carolina. And the one in South Carolina pertains to why I'm here standing in front of you today. The guy in South Carolina says, I want to thank you so much, not for the books, he says, but for the software you've produced. I just finished producing myself a reading schedule, and I'm going to be using this to jump right into the Word of God. You know, a lot of us, again, without a plan, good intentions fall to the wayside. Pastor Kirk's been preaching in this sermon today where he's talking about how we should pray. It should be prayer from the heart. But be careful that things don't become so regimented that they become hollow. Now, something that's reduced to a formula is not necessarily bad. It says of Daniel that Daniel was a righteous man, and Daniel prayed three times a day. It was his regimen. The psalmist, it says of him, he prayed five times a day. There's nothing wrong with having a program to do things. But no doubt a program can become hollow, and I don't want to do that. But I do understand that if I can give you guys a tool for reading the Word of God, maybe some of you who've been thinking about doing it will have the courage to go ahead and step up. Some of you fathers who have been wondering to yourselves, how can I be a stronger head of household? How can I be, as the Scriptures say of us, that we as ought to be as priests in our homes? How can I do that? This right here would be a wonderful way to start. I want to encourage you. Take on God's view about His Word. It's not a book that we occasionally should reference. It's a book that we need to be soaking our minds in on a regular basis. It should be like our food. Peter said that, you know, you're born again, and as a born-again person, you're like a babe. And he says in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, he says that we should desire the sincere milk of the Word as newborn babes, that we can grow thereby. A lot of people have to look in the mirror and see, spiritually speaking, looking at a weak head of household. There's 1,189 chapters of the Bible, but most of those chapters remain a great mystery to us. But here's the greatest tragedy of it all, is that we have more Bibles at our fingertips than ever before in history, and yet seem to have an all-time low hunger for wanting to feed on that Word. There was a magazine as I walked through the grocery store yesterday, and on the cover of that magazine was this massive man who was a bodybuilder. He had just muscles just everywhere, all over him. He's a huge, huge fellow. And I thought to myself about what I'd be saying to you this morning, and I can tell you assuredly, one thing about that man is that that fella does not live off of a diet of milk. That is a man who's got a robust appetite. And if you wish to be a mighty Christian, if you want to be able to face the complicated issues of the world and do it with biblical wisdom, then you have to be like a mighty man. And you have to suck up the milk. But then you have to also delve into the meat. And as a congregation, we're like a flock. And we can spend our days eating weeds, eating sorts of things that really don't provide much nourishment. Maybe hay that's dried because that's what's left over. But if we really want to grow strong as a flock, we've got to, as a flock, be feeding in the deepest of the green pastures, not putting upon our pastors the burden of being our primary initiative for why we study. Let it be that Pastor Kirk, when he comes here and he admonishes us as a people, that it is only to further what we are doing for ourselves during the week, and that we don't place on him the burden of being the leader of our own households or even the strength of our own Christian growth. Job says that I consider your word more necessarily than my daily food. The psalmist says, I consider your word better than treasures of silver. Brothers and sisters, if the word of God is often not cracked open in your hands on a daily basis, if that's the routine for you, and I think with all humility we must admit that that's contrary to what we're seeing in the Scriptures. Luke says in the book of Acts chapter 17 that Paul and Silas went to the people of Thessalonica. It says they went into the synagogue and began to teach them the Word of God, but eventually they were driven out. They went to the next place. The next place was called Berea. When they got to Berea, they found that those Jews, when they went into the synagogues, those Jews responded in a different way. It says that they received it with all readiness of mind. And it says they began to search the Scriptures daily to see whether the things that the apostles said were so. And it says, for this reason, they were more noble than those of Thessalonica. It can truly be said that some congregations are more noble than others, just like some Jewish synagogues are more noble than others. I pray to God that this congregation will be one that strives for the highest forms of nobility, and that we search the Scriptures and we study to show ourselves approved, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. Pastor Kurt, I'll turn this back over to you.
Alan has just been exhorting you. He's a member of our congregation, and he's exhorting you from one person to another, get in the Word. And he's willing to help you put together a reading schedule for the Word. If that's something that will help you and you want to see him, he'll help you with it. The book he referred to is Balancing the Sword, and it's a Bible study tool. Takes you through every book of the Bible, I believe every chapter of the Bible, and it helps ask you questions about the text so that you can dig into the Word and study it for yourself, and it references other relevant passages of Scripture. It's not a theological book in that it's saying this is what you should believe. It's not an interpreter book in that it's interpreting the Bible for you. It's a book, and it's two volumes, this is just one, helping you to study the Bible for yourself. And I really recommend it to you as something that you should consider. A lot of time, years went into it. Alan did a great job with it. And I think it's something that's not there to indoctrinate you as much as it is for you to get into the Word and learn the truth for yourself. Very important. So if you're saying, I've read through the Bible 3 or 4 times, I want to get in more deep, maybe this is it. But we always need to keep reading the Word, and I hope that you'll do that as a congregation, because that's how God speaks to us, through His Spirit and His Word.